Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. This week, we've been talking a lot about the whereabouts of the NSA leaker Edward Snowden. But in focusing on that, we might be forgetting why we're talking about him in the first place. His leaking of secret documents that showed how the government is tracking our digital info and working with some of the biggest names in technology like Google, Facebook, and Microsoft. Joining me, regular contributor Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, and Manoush Zomorodi, the host of WNYC's New Tech City. And Rana, you've written some recent stories actually with headlines like Learning to Hate Big Tech, and It's Official, Tech Has Replaced Banking as the New Corporate Bad Guy. I presume this isn't just about Edward Snowden and the NSA leak. Why do you think this?
And let me just say that, like Congress, I love my Apple products, but no, I think that, look, for starters, big tech is where the money is right now, and where the money is, more government scrutiny will follow. And we're seeing some of the privacy fallout that a lot of people have been predicting for a while now. You know, I've always thought that, yes, people are comfortable giving up a lot of privacy, but we've never had a privacy Exxon Valdez, if you will. Now, I don't know if Snowden is that, but I think the fact that he continues to be in the headlines week after week is really making people aware of just how much they're giving up and how much information and power big tech holds.
But it's not just the information that people are providing to these tech companies. It's the way that they actually do business that you think is a bigger issue.
That's right. I've written a lot about technology companies and their tax avoidance schemes. We've all heard about what's happened with Apple, but a lot of tech companies and banks, to be fair, do this. Those are the two industries that are most able to move value and revenue and profits abroad and to use tax havens abroad because of the way the intellectual property works. It's very easy to say create something or design something, if you will, from the latest Apple ads in Cupertino and move the value to Singapore or to the Netherlands and to avoid taxes. So I think this is going to keep being an issue, not only in the U.S., but the entire G8 is going to make this an issue. You know, you've got governments with beleaguered public budgets. You've got companies that are avoiding taxes and have a lot of cash on the balance sheet. And that is a recipe for conflict.
Well, Manoush, I don't mean to like put you on the spot as to defend the industry, but is that actually accurate what Ron is saying? I mean, because the reality is that we can't live without, whether it's the gadgets in our hands, you see people, you know, here in New York constantly looking down on their phone in the subway or walking in the street, to the fact that this is just the world that we live in now, where it is data and being online. I mean, that's how we sort of do everything. It's kind of, you just have to accept it.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is a maturation of the industry, essentially, right? Whereas before it was like, oh, look at this cool new gadget. Well, now we are literally seeing that technology is interwoven into every single part of our life. And so it's bound to happen that there's a sort of collision between legislation and these companies. And so until they can sort of figure themselves out, there's going to be this sort of jostling. You know, no one can condone avoiding paying taxes. But on the other hand, there are a lot of people, you'll never hear somebody saying, oh, I went into banking because I wanted to make the world a better place. Or if you have, I haven't heard it. But you will hear an entrepreneur talking about this sense of working for the greater good. So here's how one entrepreneur recently described his work at New York Tech Meetup the other day. His startup is called Fund Elevator.
We're lucky. We're in a good space where we're trying to make the world a better place, as corny as that sounds.
So you're really arguing that people go into this with the best of intentions. So even if there are other issues that may come up along the line, they really are trying to change the world. And maybe we should cut them some slack, even if in the end they're not paying their taxes, not paying people very well overseas, you know, providing all of our information.
Well, this brings up a very important point. I actually agree that, you know, in the past, tech has been looked on with a lot of generosity and kindness because it creates jobs. It creates cool new products. Now, that
right.
jobs question is going to be very, very important. How many jobs are these companies creating and where are they? And so far, they've been very much at the top. You know, there's a lot of PhDs, very well-paid engineers in California, and at the bottom, right, at Foxconn workers in China or in other parts of Southeast Asia. Are they creating enough in the middle? And I think what's interesting is after Apple had its big tax fiasco, it came out with a study saying, oh, we've created over 500,000 jobs in the U.S. And, you know, you can splice and dice that study in different ways, but this jobs question is going to be crucial for tech defending itself going forward.
And just to add to that, I think what we're seeing is that every industry now has a tech element.
Manoush, this concept of I'm doing good working at my company, Is that maybe one of the reasons why people are becoming more critical of the tech sector, the sense of superiority of what we're doing is vastly more important than whatever it is you're doing in your finance sector or maybe in your journalism job?
The smugness of it all. I just wonder if it's kind of us old people who are like, you work because it's a job and you earn your money, you bring home the bacon, you know, right? And a lot of these people are young and don't have a lot of economic obligations yet at home, but they have the technical and engineering skills and therefore they can have a little bit naivete and desire for social betterment.
But I think there also is a certain arrogance in the industry. I mean, you know, the New Yorker piece by George Packer really, a few weeks ago really got at that. You know, this idea that the folks in this ecosystem are kind of at zero gravity. You know, they're in a different world than everyone else and really believe that their concerns should predominate.
Well, let's look ahead to some of the other stories that we're following this week and next week. Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I'm paying attention, like everybody, to Egypt. What's going on is disturbing. It's explosive. No matter how it ends, it reminds me that the story in Egypt, as in really the rest of the Arab world, has always been an economic story. I mean, the roots of the Arab Spring were, to my mind, really about economic disenchantment, youth unemployment, and no matter who ends up in power in Egypt, those problems are not going to be easy to solve, and they're going to be here for the next few weeks, months, and years.
Manoush, what are you looking ahead to?
Charlie, I'm going to be taking a moment to mourn the passing of Alta Vista. It was my first ever search engine in the mid-90s, and Yahoo is finally shutting it down next week.
And it's been in operation this whole time?
Yeah, who would have known, right?
So that sort of begs a question, which is, what are some of these legacy internet companies that may still be out there that we just don't even use anymore? And, you know, could that ever happen to something like Google, that 10 years from now we're not using them, or Facebook or another platform?
Hard to imagine, right? I mean, there's been a lot of talk this week about Intel finally getting on the mobile bandwagon and realizing it's not going away. So if they want to stay in business, they're going to have to catch up with that too.
But, I think it's a good question, because increasingly even the biggest players, Google, eBay, Amazon, you know, they're all in each other's space. So I think it will really be interesting to see if there's a culling even of some of the largest players in the next 5 years.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast, available for free on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Manoush Somorodi with WNYC's New Tech City. Thanks so much for joining.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.